Welcome to the first episode of Tea with Misha. Today's episode is titled Lukewarm. The purpose of this entire channel, this entire series, is just about walking with Christ as sinners. We're all sinners. We all have our story, and it's just meant to encourage you all. So I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. I grew up in North Memphis, and I went to a small school that is now closed down due to fraud. Just to give you a little bit of background, I did not grow up in a church necessarily, but I did grow up knowing who God was. I didn't start going to church consistently until probably like middle school or high school. Well, until middle school and through high school. And the church was very small. I mean, it's like 30 to 45 people on a good week. And the people who were in the choir was the crowd most of the time. Just to give you a little context of how small the church was, but it was more so a family church. And we had connections with, I mean, we had great connections with each other. And it was more of a family, but just like all church, there was church drama. But as a kid, you don't really pay attention to that when you are surrounded by kids. During my senior year of high school, I began to meet new people. I was traveling a lot more. I started to come across people I have different religions, like different cultures and everything. And I met this guy who came from a family who was more spiritual and everything. And just meeting him and hearing what he had to say about God and about Christians was kind of interesting to me. And then I was also at an age now where I was paying attention to some of the drama that was going on in the church, and it didn't really align with God's word. So instead of leaning more into God's word, I started to listen to this guy. And granted, he came from a really nice family who they were all spiritual, but they weren't Christians, and they lived a pretty good life. So it didn't feel like I was getting information from a bad well or anything. And so I can't say that I didn't have anyone to talk to, but I definitely did not feel safe bringing up certain things or bringing my questions about God to anybody in the church, and not even necessarily my family, because there was a little bit of shame and guilt behind it. I was always told, like, we're not supposed to question God. And that kind of led me down a rabbit hole of getting information from elsewhere. So it did get to a point my freshman year of college where, actually, before I even graduated high school, I was like, I'm not a Christian no more. And I didn't really care. I was pro-Black. I was like, this is, the Bible's created to capture us and keep us as slaves and all of this junk. Like, that was me. And by the time I made it to college, I would say that I was atheist for a little bit, but I kind of straddled between agnostic and just being spiritual and believing that the universe was God. And I straddled between those quite often. I strayed away from atheist pretty quickly because I realized, like, there has to be a higher power. There is something stronger and mightier than me. And so that didn't last long. But agnostic was my favorite. For those who don't know, agnostic means neither confirming nor denying that there's a God, but also not spending your time trying to figure it out. You're just at peace with knowing, like, I'm not going to try to confirm it, and so I'm not going to deny it. And so that was the space that I was in. And I went throughout my entire college career doing that. I didn't care necessarily. Like, I just adapted the Buddhism principles of just being a good person. What goes around comes around. I just believed in karma, and I didn't really care. However, even though I was being a good person, I was still living in sin. Like, we got to be real about it. I wasn't a reckless person because I was more so introverted and I did things by myself. I was still a sinner. I was still getting drunk. I was still probably lying, manipulating people. I don't know. Like, I didn't have no true guideline of life. I was dealing with sexual impurities, like all of it. And all of this was throughout a time where I didn't believe in God. So I didn't think that I was harming myself or anybody else with my actions. But throughout this entire period, like, I was really, like, my heart was so cold towards Christ. Like, God, I didn't believe Jesus. I thought Mary was crazy. Like, I just didn't believe any of this stuff. Like, gospel songs used to make me angry. Like, I used to roll my eyes. That's how stubborn I was towards the word of God. Like, I just did not believe it. And one day, fast forward to my senior year, I had a dream, and I'll spare some of the details, but it was like an empty room, and it was just a mattress on the floor and a small TV on a TV stand. And the TV, like, the channel just changed, and it was like static TV. And I was just kind of like confused. And then there was like this big window on the opposite side of the wall. And I got up out of the bed and I walked to the window and it started like pouring down, raining. It was lightning. It was thundering. So imagine this dark room with like gray being the only color that's lighting up the room. And I lifted my hands up and it felt like I was being called to surrender. Now, during this time, I was still agnostic and I still didn't believe. And I got from the dream that I needed to spend more time with myself, or self-care was necessary. Like I needed to surrender my life to myself because it was my senior year. I was working three jobs. I was tutoring, I was working in the office, and I had an internship doing all of this while also being an accounting major. And I was the president of NABLA. So I had all kind of things going on, and it was like a moment of I need to sit back and relax and take care of myself, right? But then in 2020, I started to date this guy who would send me little motivational videos. And at first I was a little hesitant to watch them because I told him at the beginning, I'm not a Christian. So as long as you're okay with that, we can date. And he was Christian. He was a Christian man, Lord. And he was sending me these motivational videos and they were pastors. Originally, I was like a little hesitant, but because I was agnostic, meaning that I was open to the idea of God, I was able to listen to the videos. And I'll just say this, Black pastors, our Baptist pastors, they know how to preach. And just listening to them in these like shorts, it was like very inspiring. Like I felt this little hope or whatever. So my ears perked up and I was able to get through the videos, which is crazy because they didn't talk about Jesus. Mind you, during this time, I believed that God was a possibility, but I didn't necessarily believe in Jesus, right? So during that time, I ran across Pastor Michael Todd. I love that man to death. Like, I really love him. I pray that one day I get to meet him just to thank him in person. Pastor Michael Todd's church is Transformation Church, and they have this acronym called HOT, and it stands for Humble, Open, and Transparent. And I didn't know this. I came across a video, and he's like, oh, I was addicted to pornography. I was a liar. I was a manipulator. I was a cheater. I was like, yo, you're telling me all of your business. Like, you're just putting your sins out here. Like, this is crazy. But then I started to notice, like, well, this is a man that's successful in what he's doing. He's standing on stage and he's telling me that God loves him. And he's also putting all of his sins out there, all the things that he used to do. And I was like, oh, it hit me. God was never this big, angry man where I feel like if I sin, I might as well go lay in the grave myself. Like, I thought God was this angry person. But after watching him and listening to the things that he was saying, I was like, oh, God is just my father who loves me. He loves me as I am, as his daughter, through my sin, through my stubbornness, through my addictions, through my sexual impurities, through my manipulations. Like, he loves me as I am. And this entire time, I was thinking that even if I tried to come back to Christ, he would immediately like disown me. Like, there is no room for me, right? And I was able to piece back, I was able to connect back to the dream of me surrendering. It was God. It was God calling me back to him. It was God calling me back home because I spent at this point about 4 years doing this life thing on my own. And it got to a point where I couldn't handle the things that were coming to me by myself. And even though I was successful in graduating and I was able to get through college and I was involved, I was able to do a lot of things. When I look back to my undergrad year, I was not that happy. I was stressed. I didn't have peace. Like, I was just doing whatever I wanted to, and I was carrying a whole lot of burden and a whole lot of trauma that I never really addressed. And God was asking me to come back to him and bring it back to him. And I realized that the purpose of me surrendering my life to God was a lot bigger than what I thought it was. God was still coming after me. He was still chasing after me. He left the 99 for me. The fact that I had a dream in the midst of a time where I didn't believe at all, and he still was chasing after me. Revelations 3, verse 20 in New King James Version says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." When I realized that that dream of me surrendering was God's way of knocking at the door for me, I lost it. It was like, even in the midst of me not believing, God still knocked at the door and he waited for me and he continued to knock. And he said, he put together a plan for me to come back to him, and he made it so easy. And it was at that point where I made the choice. I decided that I was going to follow God. I was going to follow God, and I was going to make it my business to do whatever I had to do to follow God. Mind you, at this point, I still didn't believe in Jesus. I still didn't understand or believe most of the Bible. I still had my doubts, but I made the choice to walk with God. I just made that choice. Nehemiah 9:17 says, "They refused to listen and obey and did not remember your wondrous acts which you had performed among them. So they stiffened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return them to slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not abandon them." Reading that now goes to show that even during my time of being very stubborn, being so headstrong on I don't like Jesus, Jesus don't matter, going through a whole period of rolling my eyes at gospel songs, even throughout all of that, God's love and his grace that he has for me is just superior to all of that. It literally reigns over all of those things because of his love for me and the fact that I can stand here today knowing that there was a time where I rejected God and he's blessed me through that. And even in this moment, just goes to show that this marathon, this race that we're racing, is not one to take lightly. A marathon isn't easy. We still go through periods of recovering. We're going to have moments where we're hurting, where we hate what we're doing, where we feel like we're not enough. We're going to go through these periods of just feeling like, I'm not ready for this. This is hard. I hurt my leg and you want me to get back up and continue to walk? Like, are you crazy? Like, this is a race that continues to go. Just because it's a marathon and it's not something we do quickly, it's still a journey. And I realized along that journey is that we're going to go through a season, no matter what, where we're going to be lukewarm. Revelations 3:15 says, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." When we're reading that, we're like, okay, lukewarm is horrible, it's bad. I don't want to be lukewarm, like it's crazy. But then I started to think, all right, we with tea with Misha now. When I put water in my kettle, it's cold water. And then when I'm boiling it, it goes from cold to warm to hot. When I remove that water, when I put that water in this cup, that water goes from hot to lukewarm to cold. So being lukewarm is inevitable. It's just not meant to be a lifestyle. God talks about us being lukewarm, and he said that I will vomit you out of my mouth. He didn't say that he did. He said, I will, because it's not meant to be a place where you stay there, where you create a lifestyle of it, where you're battling between the world and the word. That's not what it's meant to be. And so he says that I will vomit you out of your mouth, out of my mouth, because at this point you're taking my grace for granted. But it is inevitable that we will be in a space of being lukewarm. I was cold when I came back to Christ. I told God, like, I'm choosing you. I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to learn the word, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe. And I also vowed to never go to church again. I wanted to learn the word for myself. And leave it at that. I'll watch Transformation Church every Sunday online, and I would be fine with it. But I was cold because I did not know who Christ was. I did not know who God was for real. But I chose to go towards God. But as I'm reading the Bible, as I'm learning better, as I'm getting, like, as I'm understanding him a little bit better, I'm still sinning. I'm still getting drunk. I wasn't smoking at this time, but I was still having sex. I was doing all the things that we're told not to do in the Bible. I was doing all those things while also reading the Bible. So I was going to be lukewarm regardless. That phase is inevitable as I'm learning. There's still habits that I've spent years building. There's still things that I'm still trying to unlearn that I haven't unlearned yet. Even things that I don't even know that I need to unlearn yet. So with that, in order for me to get to where I am now, today I know God, but I still sin. Because I am a sinner. God created us all. He created us all for one. And he also knows us uniquely. But with that, every single last one of us were born into sin. He calls us all filthy rags because honestly, without Jesus Christ, that's all we are. I'm just saying. So that lukewarm phase is so essential, and it's not a place where you need to deny it. It's a point in your life where you have to accept that, hey, I am lukewarm. I can't stay here long, but that's where I am. And if you don't get to a point of being lukewarm, you don't ask yourself the questions that needs to be asked. Because while I'm learning about God, it's still like, why do I keep talking to this man or this woman? Or why do I keep drinking? Like, why do I like being drunk? Why do I like playing with this fire? You don't ask yourself those questions when you're cold because you don't have a law to live by. But when you're lukewarm and you're in that moment, a period of time where you're trying to learn God and you're also trying to do better, that's the moment where things start to be exposed to you. So embrace your days and your moments of being lukewarm. It is okay. Isaiah 41:10, this is the Amplified version, says, "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation." That means that although you're walking through the valley, although you're walking through this period of time that seems so hard, when you're running that race, when you're in that marathon, when you're trying to figure things out, God is with you. And he's with you as you are. He didn't call you to clean yourself up by yourself. He called you so that he can help you be clean. It's not a matter of you figuring it all out and then coming to Christ. It's not a matter of you figuring it all out and coming to Christ. It is a matter of you walking with him in your addiction, walking with him in your stubbornness, walking with him in your sexual impurities, in whatever it is that you're dealing with. Walk with him. Have a relationship with him where you're like, God, I don't understand. I don't get it. So teach me. Show me. I'm mad. I'm so angry right now. I mean, I talk to God sometimes and I know he'd be like, hold on, I'm still God. And I'm like, you're right. And I have to check myself. But that's the kind of relationship where I've built with God, where I'm thinking those things anyway. Why not take it to my Father? Why not lay it down at his altar and let him know, like, I'm pissed. This don't look good. I can't figure my way out of this. I don't know what to do with this. This is crazy. I don't feel like you're here. I don't feel like you're listening to me. All of these different thoughts are things that I have felt, but now I'm at a point where I give it to God. And after I give it to him, I'm able to move forward. And we all have to get to a point of knowing that God wants you just like you are. He don't want you to change anything without him. He wants you to come to him with your mess, come to him with your problems so that he can help you. Stop thinking that God doesn't love you, because it's not true. Short story. I had on a sweater that says Jesus loves you. And it was a sweater for my friend Preston. And I was at the grocery store, or I was at the gas station, and I was on the phone with my brother, and he said something and I cursed. And I was like, I don't even deserve to wear this jacket. Like, I got Jesus written on me and I'm out here telling people Jesus loves them and I'm cursing. But then I realized, like, my message said that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter that I curse when I'm saying a message like that, because Jesus still loved me after I cursed. When you get hot, you feel convicted. I still ask for forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, it doesn't change the message. Jesus still loves me. Okay. So while you're high, Jesus loves you. While you're drunk, Jesus loves you. When you in the meeting, when you in that bed, Jesus loves you. No matter where you are, Jesus loves you. God loves you and he cares about you. So stop running away from him and run towards him. He wants you to, he loves you. You're his child. You're his daughter. You're his son. He wants a life with you. So don't run from it. Come to him as you are. If you want to walk this journey of life with God as a sinner, please subscribe, like, comment, follow, whatever it is you need to do, because this channel is meant to encourage people to follow God as they are, to allow him to do the work in you instead of taking on the burden of doing it yourself. I am here to encourage you. It is tea with Misha. I swear I'm only bringing the tea of the word to you, serving it hot, okay? Not lukewarm, but serving it hot. So please follow and subscribe. It's 2024. It's time to lock in. It's time to get to a point where our life can be elevated to levels we never even thought existed. Come to God just as you are. Appreciate your lukewarm phase, but get out of there. Get out of there.